Well, you're getting a handout, and it's for 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Now, I have the same thing on the overhead here, but sometimes it doesn't show you the whole page. So you can look at the verses on the page if you want. You can scribble on it or write on it or whatever you want. Something useful if you want to use that. But there's some things about being single or being unmarried, and there's some things about being married. So I think there's something here for everyone in this chapter, because if you're here today, you're either married or you're not married, or maybe thinking about being married or whatever, but so it's going to be something for everybody. And you know, I heard that, this is just something that I heard, that there's really only two times in a man's life that he does not understand women. There's only two times in a man's life that he doesn't understand women. It's before marriage and after marriage. Those are the only two times that a man doesn't understand women. Now, that's what I've heard. Now, I can go along with the first part, you know, about not being married before marriage. I don't know about the second part. You know, I haven't experienced that. But it's what I've heard, that can be true. It's hard to understand women after you're married, too. But anyway, regardless of whether you're married or not married, there's something here for you today in this chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Now, I apologize for the fact that the handout does not have all the verses on the chapter. That was on purpose. So we're not going to try to cover every verse because it's kind of a long chapter. In fact, there are some verses on the back of your handout too. So there's a second page. But we're only going to cover certain verses. I wasn't trying to make the Bible different than what it really is. So just be aware that there are some verses that we don't have on the handout. And if there's some things that you have some questions about, because there are some things in the chapter that may not be that clear or that might be a little confusing. In fact, if we were to just look at certain verses of the chapter and just looked at that verse alone, it might be kind of confusing. And you might think, wow, is that what the Bible really says? Well, a lot of times that's why we go through certain chapters of the book of the Bible, so that we can see what he says for the whole chapter and not just certain verses, and take it what we call out of context and say, well, I think that verse means that, but you know, sometimes you have to know the other verses around it and other things in the Bible too to really understand what's in the chapter and what that verse really means too. So we're going to try to do that. There's some instructions here in this chapter for people who are not married and for people who are married. Now, again, if you looked at certain verses, you might think, oh, he's saying that everybody should be married. But other verses you might say, oh, well, maybe that's saying that everybody shouldn't be married. Well, you have a choice. This is one of those things that, you know, you could say, well, I'd like for the Bible to tell me what I really should do in life. But this is one of those where you have a choice. And it might be better for you in one situation. It might be better for someone else to do differently in a different situation. The chapter begins with Paul saying, concerning the things about which you wrote. So that's right here in the first verse. And there were some questions that the Corinthians, the Christians in Corinth, had for Paul. We don't have what the questions were, but they had written to him about some of these things. And so this was one of the questions that they had, was about how do we deal with some of these things, such as how do we relate to one another, men and women? And he says here in verse 1, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Now that, if we took that verse only by itself, it would seem that's pretty strict, huh? See, this is why we have to be kind of careful and not just think that, okay, well, that verse is all we need. because, you know, well, wow, that seems pretty strict. So we can't just look at this one verse. But before we go on to the second verse, I want to help us understand that he says that it's good. It's good for a man not to touch a woman. So it's not a hard and fast. It's not like saying this is an absolute direction as to what everyone should do. And actually the word in the Greek language for to touch could have to do with how men and women interact in a sexual way. Okay, so that really is kind of how we should look at that. And so it kind of does give a little bit better understanding. It's not just any touch whatsoever. And as we get to verse 2, we can understand that, well, there's things for married people that aren't really correct or appropriate for unmarried people. So I'm not going to go into, okay, what kind of touching is okay and what kind of touching is not okay. But we do know that there are, you know, I mean, we want our children to understand there is a kind of touching that is not okay. And so, so you can kind of get the idea. You know, the Greek word here about touching, but not to touch, it could actually be a translator, you know, the meaning sometimes means to set on fire. And so I think if you kind of look at it that way, maybe that would be helpful for us, that for a man and woman, now we'll talk about men and women who are not married to each other, I think it would be safe to say, don't set the other person on fire. Okay, so if you can kind of get the idea there. So, but, you know, if you just look at that, okay, so it's not good for a man to touch a woman. So, is that for everybody? Well, let's look at verse 2. And I really kind of wanted to have some of these verses in Corinth, but I don't think we're really going to be able to do that very easily. So we'll have to read some of these verses. We'll just read them in English. So let's read verse 2 then. It says, "But because of immoralities, each man is to have his own wife, and each woman is to have her own husband." Okay, now, be careful here, because if we were just to look at that verse and then look at the rest of the verses, somebody might say, well, okay, he says that each man is to have his own wife, and each woman is to have her own husband. So that's kind of like saying, maybe everybody's supposed to be married, right? That's kind of what it seems to say, but, you know, and so if I were to say, well, okay, now we'll close in prayer and everybody can go home, I'm not going to do that because that would let you off the hook too easily. But you might think, well, okay, if everyone's supposed to be married, Mark, you're not following what the Bible says because you're not married. How can that be? And, you know, it's not a good thing if the teachers are not doing what the Bible says. So, you know, you just can't go by that. But let's look at the reason. Okay, what's the reason that he gives in verse 2 for why it's not, you know, it might be a good idea for people to be married? It kind of has to do with this word because. What follows the word because? Because of this word right here, immoralities. Immoralities. Now, I'm going to just try to define that. And something that's immoral, well, first of all, something that's moral, something that's good, something, you know, when we talk about good morals, it means things that are of a good character, doing the right things. Those are good morals. But bad morals are things that are bad things that people do, and bad character traits. And so immorality would have to do with things that are bad, that are against the law, especially against the law of God. And a lot of times in English, when we talk about immorality or immoralities, We're talking about the kinds of bad things that had to do with violating God, what God has to say about sexual purity. So it has to do especially with those kinds of immoralities. And, you know, it's a good thing for those who are within the boundaries of what God says is good as far as moral things go. And so this gives a good reason for being married, for people who can enjoy those things of a sexual nature between a man and a woman who are married to each other, and they can enjoy those kinds of things that single people shouldn't be doing, because it's for people who are married. And God, at least that's what I've heard, that it's a good thing for people who are married. See, I don't have that experience, but it can be a good thing. And so it's a good thing to be within the boundaries that God has set. You know, God is the one who created man and woman. He's the one that created them this way. And to be able to do these things. So God allows that kind of thing within a marriage. So the next verses, 3 through 5, have to do with people who are married and the things that are appropriate and things that people can do who are married to each other. Immorality is types of immoralities that would be wrong for people who, well, are married or are not married. So this kind of applies to both married people and unmarried people. So type of sin, or a word that we use in English for two people, single people who are not married, man and woman who are not married, both of them single, and they have relations or sex with each other, we call that fornication. That's outside the boundaries of what God has said is okay for people who are married. It's not okay for people who are not married. For two people, a man and a woman who are having sex, and at least one of them is married, but they're not married to each other, we call that adultery. And that's also outside the bounds of what God says is correct for marriage. You notice that he says, each man is to have his own wife, and each woman is to have her own husband. So that means there's one man to have his own wife, and one woman to have her own husband. So there's one of each, okay? It's not more than one. And it's a man, and it's a woman. That's the way God says it should be if it's a marriage. Then there's other things in the Bible. Now, there's a lot of things that we're not covering about marriage and singleness and so forth that are not in this chapter. So I'm not ignoring those things. But here's what it says here. One man and one woman. That's what God would have for a marriage. And, you know, and so they can have this enjoyment. And it's something that can help them so that they don't have those temptations outside of a marriage. They can enjoy those things within a marriage. That's appropriate. That's okay. Now, the next few verses, and obviously I'm not reading all the verses, but you can read some of them for yourself. Sometimes it might seem in the next few verses, 7 through 9, is he almost kind of saying it's a better idea for a person to be single. So verse 7 says, I wish that all men were even as I am, as I myself am. However, each man has his own gift from God, one in this manner and another in that. Paul was a single man, at least at this point in his life. Now, there's some that have said that, well, maybe he was married at one time, too. I've seen some commentators that have said, well, he was probably a part of the Jewish council, and they were supposed to be married, so he might have been married. And others have said, no, that doesn't necessarily mean that, he might not have been married earlier in life. And so I'm not really sure, but it's not really that important. At this point in his life, Paul was married, or not married. He was single. He was a single man. And he thought for himself, at least, it was better for him to stay that way, to stay single at that point, regardless of how he had been earlier in life. And so he says he wishes that all men could be that way, but it's not appropriate necessarily for all men to be that way. And he says each man has his own gift from God. So he's kind of referring to the fact that maybe singleness is a gift. It's a gift that's for some people. But of course, marriage is a gift too, isn't it? I mean, for people who are married, and it talks about giving in marriage. And so, certainly if you're married, you have a spouse. And that's a gift from God. So there's different kinds of gifts, and sometimes it's a gift for people to be single. But if they don't have self-control, verse 9, we'll just read that verse. Now, he says some things to unmarried people and widows, would like for them to be single as well. But if they do not have self-control, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. So here's a situation where it can be a good thing for people to be married, and it might be the right thing to do for some to be married. So I guess you could say to a certain extent it's important for all single people to have some degree of self-control, at least until they're married. It's a good thing to be married, isn't it? And it's a good thing to have a good marriage. It's also not a good thing to rush into, or at least that's what I've heard. I mean, maybe I kind of followed that a little too far, huh? That's why I'm not married. I don't know. I didn't rush into the thing. But it's a good thing to be married. It's a good thing not to rush into, but it's a choice that a person has for their situation. Now, when we look at the next few verses here, so I had this as a question mark. Maybe for some people, it's a good thing not to be married, but not for everybody. But there is something here for the married people in the next couple of verses. To the married, I give instruction. Let's do that. All right, let's do this. But not I, but the Lord, that the wife should not leave her husband. Now, sometimes when we come to things like this, not I, but the Lord, it kind of wonder, okay, is Paul suggesting that there are certain things that he's saying that are okay that I'm saying, and certain things that the Lord is saying? Well, it's not really that way. In fact, when we get down here in verse 12, where he says, I say, not the Lord, it's not as though he's offering just an opinion. What he's talking about is that there were certain things that the Lord taught the Lord Jesus taught certain things while he was on earth. And some of those things he's saying, this is what the Lord said when he taught these things on earth. But there's some things that weren't necessarily in what the Lord himself taught. So Paul's saying, okay, I'm saying this, the Lord has given me some direction and some instruction as an apostle. And he had the Holy Spirit of God. And so everything that we see in the Bible, including these words here, are from God. But there were some things that Jesus taught on earth, and some things that he didn't. And so now Paul, in those cases, say, okay, here's what I'm saying, because Jesus didn't teach that, but as an apostle, I am teaching this, and this is also what the Lord says, because everything in the Word of God, anything in the Bible, is from God. But here he says, I say not the Lord, that if a brother has a wife who is an unbeliever. Now, okay, now here's something that could cause a little bit of a question. Married to an unbeliever. And this is might be something they had a question about. Now, we know from 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. Maybe I should just write that down here. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. We know from that verse that believers are not to be bound to unbelievers. And included with that would be marriage. So a person who is a believer, thinking about being married, should not marry an unbeliever. That's what that verse is telling us. Don't be bound to unbelievers. So why is it a question here about being married to an unbeliever? Because believers are not supposed to be married to unbelievers, right? But to the rest I say not the Lord. If a man has a wife who is an unbeliever and she consents to live with him, he must not divorce her. Well, in the time that Paul was writing here, and this can be true today too, that two people who are unbelievers say their wedding vows and they get married. And then after that, they're married, and so maybe one of them gets saved and trusts the Lord as a Savior. That person comes to know that Jesus died on the cross for their sins, and he rose again to give eternal life. And that's all that's required. A faith in the Lord Jesus is all that's required for a person to be saved and to have eternal life, just as the Bible says. And so one of the two in the marriage comes to understand that and believes on the Lord Jesus and gets saved. But then the other one is still unmarried, or is still not saved. So what do you do then? Okay, so that's the kind of situation he's talking about here, where two people were unbelievers when they got married, and then one of them gets saved. And maybe sometimes, you know, the two and the couple both get saved about the same time, but a lot of times that's not the case. So what happens then? So should they break up because one's married and one's not? Well, Paul says no. Just like what I should have pointed out up here, with married people who are believers, you know, it's a good idea to stick with it. I mean, there could be things that come up in a marriage that are not easy and, you know, difficult, and you got to work out little disagreements and problems, or at least that's what I've heard. Or maybe I read it somewhere. But, you know, there are things, the disagreements. You know, two people are always going to, there's always going to be, not always, but you're never going to be in perfect agreement about everything. And there's just going to happen with two people. So, but he wants us to stick with it. For people that are married, stick with it. And he does, you know, I didn't point this out, but he does give, you know, in extreme circumstances, there may be situations where people aren't treating each other the way they should be. And, you know, now I'm not going to go into the specifics. The general rule is stick it out. You need to stick it out and try to work things out. But there may be extreme situations where it's permitted to be divorced. But I'm not going to go into that. That we can talk about that afterwards if you like. But the general rule is, and this is what Paul encourages, this is what I encourage too. If you're married, stick with it. It's a good thing, and work it out. And so even for unbelievers, if one has a wife who is an unbeliever, she consents to live with him, he must not divorce her. So again, stick with it, if at all possible. But he does permit that if an unbeliever doesn't want to put up with this new religion and so forth, that's okay. If a woman has an unbelieving husband and consents to live with her, he consents to live with her. Don't send her away. So for unbelievers, an unbeliever and a believer, if at all possible, stick with it. Whatever your condition, you can serve God. I'm just going to point out one of the verses here, kind of in the middle. Each man must remain in that condition in which he was called. Okay, now here's one of those verses that, okay, so if I remain in the condition in which I was called. So if I'm single and I came to know the Lord Jesus as a single person, then am I supposed to stay single? Or if I was married when I got saved, I should stay married. So, well, we're going to look at some other verses here too. He's already allowed the option for people who are single to be married. If that's what you want to do, it's okay. You know, I think the point is that if you're a single person and you can serve the Lord being single, do it. If you're a single person and you fall in love and there's a person that you can partner with and together you can serve the Lord, that's a good thing too. So is a choice. Each man must remain in that condition in which he was called. So if you're married, you can serve the Lord that way. If you're single, you can serve the Lord that way. He talks about even a slave. Now, we don't have slavery in this country. How about a slave? But in those days, well, at one time in our country, we did have slavery. You know, the Bible doesn't really condemn slavery. It also does not condone it. But it accepts it, that there was something that was happening in those times. I'm not saying that slavery is an okay thing. We don't really have it in this country, although some of you who are still working, you might have a lot of long hours and overtime and things like that, and you might think, yeah, it's kind of like being a slave to my employer. But, you know, hopefully you're being paid properly for the amount of time you're working, and you've agreed to do that. But in the Roman Empire, it was a rather common thing. They had slaves. In fact, we read in the Bible of someone who owned a slave, and he was a believer. But it was understood that if that happened, that slave was treated like a... If that slave was knew the Lord as a Savior too, well, then they would be like brothers. They were brothers, brothers in Christ. And it's important that they would be treated properly and with respect. And certainly a slave who knew the Lord as a Savior would be treated with the same privileges and all the things that every other person who knows the Lord as a Savior would have as well in the body of Christ. So he says, if you're a slave, don't worry about it. But if you're able to also become free, do that. So it's okay to become free if you can. But if you're called, or if you become the Lord, if you become a Christian while a slave, you can serve the Lord even as a slave. You can serve your master on earth. You can serve the Lord who is in heaven as well. Here's a verse that, at least this idea has come up before. You were bought with a price. At least that part of it we've seen before. In fact, the last verse in chapter 6, I think we talked about that last time. For you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body. You know, the Lord Jesus purchased us. He bought us. He redeemed us. We mentioned that earlier this morning in our first meeting. And so we belong to Him. Now, you know, He doesn't want us to be slaves of men, although there was slavery in the time that this was written. But we are, we could say that we do belong to the Lord Jesus. And even though this wouldn't be to put a restriction or just an obligation toward anyone in a way, we should be doing what He tells us to do. We belong to Him. But again, He says here in this last verse, He kind of repeats it, brethren, each one is to remain with God in the condition in which he was called. And so, whether we're single or married, or in those days, someone who was a slave, or even a master of a slave. And down here, in fact, we didn't talk about these verses. He talks about being circumcised and uncircumcised. Now, a lot of times, this is referring to people who were Jews and people who were not Jews, people who were Gentiles. There was a physical act that took place and is a physical act, even still today, a practice of that's done to male babies. In those days, it was the Jewish people. And so that's kind of what he's talking about, people who were Jews. If a person got saved and he was a Jew, was he supposed to be now not a Jew anymore? Well, no, he was still a Jew. No, he's not supposed to be uncircumcised. And so if someone was uncircumcised or someone who was not Jewish, that would be a Gentile. That's probably, maybe just about everyone, probably everyone in this room who's not a Jew. Are we supposed to become a Jew? No. You know? So whatever condition we were in, that's the way that we would serve God. We don't have to change. You know, we don't have to change our identity when we come to the Lord Jesus. I was talking to someone the other day about identity theft and how sometimes there's cyber criminals or people on the internet who try to steal your identity, maybe your social security number or other important information. So they pretend that they're you, and they steal stuff from you, and they steal from you before you know it, and then you've got a lot of things that you've got to pay for that they stole. We don't have to change our identity when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, but we should identify with the Lord Jesus and not with the rest of the world. We don't try to change or get a new life on the outside when we come to the Lord Jesus. But we are to be renewed on the inside. Okay? So you're still who you are. But you're changed on the inside because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. So you've been bought with a price. So we can serve the Lord in whatever condition we're in. In fact, we can even please the Lord in whatever condition we're in, whether we're single, whether we're married, whether Jewish, Gentile, slave, free, all those things. We still have a few more things to talk to single people about, but there's even something in the next few verses that have to do with married people. So we can all please the Lord. Let's look at verse 29 here. But I say, brethren, the time has been shortened so that from now on those who have wives should be as though they had none. Now, again, one of those verses, if we took this just by itself, it might be a little confusing. So if that is saying, you know, for you married people, now don't take that too far, okay? Because you might think, you know, okay, well then, I can pretend that I don't have a wife, and I can do whatever I want, and I can do whatever Mark does, you know. Whatever he does, you know, maybe he watches football all the time or something. You know, well, I don't do that all the time. I do watch a lot of football, but it's not all the time. I've got to do other things too, other responsibilities. Sometimes I got to get ready for messages and things like that, and other responsibilities. But it doesn't mean you can do anything you want. The idea here is this, that there are responsibilities as a married person, as a married man, or as a married woman, and you have responsibilities to your spouse. We talked about that up earlier. The things that you're giving to your spouse, those are good things. Those are good. That's important. But you know, there's a lot of other important things too, besides just your family. No one should neglect their family. That's very important. And yet at the same time, we can't neglect the other things like in our church family, for example. There's things that we each need, and we need men and women in the church, in the assembly. And so don't neglect your family, but don't neglect people in the church as well, and those responsibilities that come along with telling other people about the Lord Jesus too. Those things are also important. And so that's the kind of the idea, that just like maybe single people have more time to deal with things of the Lord, but you know, we all need to be concerned about those things. Whatever time we have, whether we have a family or not, those things are important too. You know, actually being single, there's some benefits. There's some drawbacks too. I mean, frankly to me, it's not everything it might be cracked up to be for some people, because there's times that people are lonely. You know, if you have a spouse, they can help you through those difficult times and those times of loneliness, and you know, they can support you, they can help you, they can take care of you when you're sick, and you can take care of them at times like that too. At least that's what I've heard, okay? Or maybe I read it somewhere. No, actually, I've seen this take place. I've seen it happen. And, you know, it's important that we can serve the Lord in whatever condition we're in. This kind of follows with the next few verses, some of which are on the back of your handout there. That people can be concerned about the things of their spouse. Those who are married can be concerned about, you know, if you're a husband, you can be concerned about the things of your wife and the things of the world. Or a wife can be concerned about her husband and the things of the world, but that's not all that he or she should be concerned about. But he does say that there is, you know, time, and there's an interest that's divided that can be required there for a person who's married. I don't want to make you think that, you know, when it says somebody who's married, that she may be holy in both body and spirit, as though a person is more holy by being single. That is not true. That's not what it means. But there is an opportunity to be more devoted in terms of time to the things of the Lord. He says, I say these things for your own benefit, not to put a restraint upon you. Okay, so here's the thing. There's not an obligation to be married or to be single. But he wants to make sure that we have full opportunity to serve the Lord. To serve the Lord as a married couple or as a single person, so that we might not be distracted in serving the Lord. That is what we want. You know, it's possible to please your spouse and to please the Lord too, because that's part of being married, is to please your spouse, and by doing so you can please the Lord as well. And so that's something that a person can do. So we don't want to be forced into anything. But here's a verse that is not in the chapter. It's a different verse, and it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9. I'll let you read it on your own. We can say it together here too, but read it in the context and read it in that chapter, and maybe you can start to understand there where it says, whether at home or absent, so that you can kind of understand what does that mean, at home or absent. I could have left that out here, but I wanted to give you the whole verse. But it kind of has to do with what we're talking about here, that we want to please the Lord. So whether we're single or married, or whether we're Jewish or Gentile, or slave or free, or whatever else, we can serve the Lord. And that's what we want to do. And so, therefore, we have as our ambition, this is what we want to do, to be pleasing to Him. So why don't we say this together? 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 9. Let's read that together. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. That's what we want. That's what we want for everyone. That's what we want the most. So, you can decide. The Bible doesn't tell you whether you should be married or unmarried. There's maybe some things for you to think about in the verses that we've covered, and I know that we haven't covered all the verses that are in this chapter, and there's some of them that if you go home and read it, and you see some things, I don't know what that means, we can talk about that too. But I wanted to cover at least these verses that'll help you to think about what would be best for you, either single or married, and how you might be able to serve the Lord. That's what we want, and to glorify Him. Let's pray. Father, this would be our desire, that in whatever condition we're in, that we would be pleasing to You. And we want to do this in our lives, and certainly we have people, our families, spouses, and others that we want to please. But ultimately, what we want to do is please You. And so we would desire this. We thank You for salvation in the Lord Jesus. We thank You that You don't make us be somebody different, but You do change us on the inside because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. So we thank You for salvation in Him. We thank You that we can serve You and please You, and we desire to do this in His name. Amen.